Times are changing drastically every day as we face the worldwide impact of COVID-19. More than ever, we need to be reminded to lift our eyes to the Lord, who alone remains constant. Join now Pastor George Small and a special guest as they set aside this time to remind our hearts of the unchanging truth found in God's Word. Now let's join Pastor George Small.
Well, good evening. It is once again a privilege to be with you. It's now 6 weeks later, and it's incredible. We're still in the storm, and we want to use the opportunity of radio, Christian radio, use the opportunity of the webcast that we provide with this, and also, if you're using a phone or whatever, phone apps, but just to encourage you. And I know I hear from people, run into people that, have enjoyed the time, this 1 hour time. And it's myself hosting it, or maybe it's another pastor, but we just want to point you to the Lord. If you don't know him, I pray that this broadcast encourages you to get to know him, because it's an incredible time that we live in. And if you already know him, I pray you're encouraged by this program, this live program. It's live. We're in the studios right now, so this isn't pre-recorded. We didn't try to work out all the wrinkles and pre-record it and just give it to you. No, we're just turning on our microphones, sitting here with you live in New England. And often we have guests, too. It's been a blessing for us just to speak to different pastors in different places and missionaries, and even in other parts of the world and other continents. We've even had the privilege of doing that. Well, tonight we're going to return to a pastor in New York City, Yonkers, New York specifically, who's been with us before and was a real blessing. You may listen to him on the radio, Pastor Johnny Zacchio, who's Calvary Chapel Grace and Truth, which is in Yonkers, New York, and you may listen to his program that's aired daily, weekday, here on Renew FM. And so we have him with us here in just a moment, and want to just continue to point you to the Lord. And I also wanted to reach out to him again because I realized Yonkers, New York, is also one of the areas right now in our country where their hospital systems and so forth really are experiencing a lot of strain from the COVID-19 pandemic. That is one of the ones that has come up in the last few days. I've seen articles myself related to that area of New York City, the bigger, greater New York City area, but Yonkers, New York. So he's going to join us, and we'll be able to get an update from him and know how to pray, but also just be encouraged by him. And we're going to, like we've been doing, it's as if we've had a cup of coffee and we're sitting across the table just sharing our hearts and discussing what's going on as it continues to go on now, 6 weeks since the state of emergency in Massachusetts, and I'm sure the other New England states were around that time or not too far behind. So that's a long time. I can't really think of anything like this. I would imagine neither can you, that something just snuck up so quietly and it changed the world for this long, changed our way of life for this long. It's quite extraordinary. And I want to share some thoughts with you about that as we go along, and encourage you to continue to point to the Lord. So, well, we're going to get Johnny on the line here, Pastor Johnny. Pastor Johnny, welcome to Renew FM.
Hey, Pastor George. Thank you so much for having me again.
Good
to hear from you.
Yeah, good to hear from you. We were blessed to have you last time, and it's really a blessing to be able to have you join us again. And, as I was just introducing this program tonight and mentioning we were going to have you on, I mentioned how Yonkers, New York, I've seen it the last few days in the news, national news, as one of those areas now that, there's a lot going on related to COVID-19, and at least one or two of your hospitals are really straining. It was just one that was being highlighted. And so I thought, it'd be great to just reconnect with you and just, again, discuss things with you, let you share your heart, but also just get an update from you, too, with what's happening in Yonkers.
Sure. Thank you so much again, George, for having me on. And thank you so much to all the listeners out there on Renew FM. We're just so blessed to be part of your family in the greater Boston and Massachusetts area there. And, so last time we spoke, New Rochelle, which is about 6 minutes away from Yonkers, was the hotspot, and now, as you just mentioned, as of recently, Yonkers has become the hotspot in Westchester County, and, it is. It's a terrible time in the sense of just seeing so many people contracting the virus, and you know, just the hospitals being overworked and understaffed in some regards, and perhaps the hospital is that you were speaking of might be St. Joseph's. I'm not sure exactly, but yeah. So you know, there's just a lot going on in our city. I mean, just in the county, in Westchester County alone, you know, there's now I believe about almost 27,000 confirmed cases. There's been about almost nearly 1,000 deaths, and but over 10,000 recoveries, which is great. So, you know, a lot of people are recovering. The total in New York State, is over almost 264,000, with almost 16,000 deaths, but over almost 25,000 people recovered. So, you know, again, the numbers are dropping. You know, even I was watching the news before, and Governor Cuomo said the numbers are dropping, and our county executive, George Latimer, also, you know, saying that the numbers have been dropping in terms of hospital visits and, you know, people checking into hospitals with COVID-19. So that's good news. But, yeah, it's been hit hard, and Yonkers has gotten hit hard now. And so, you know, we're really just praying for all of our hospital workers and all the caretakers and those on the front lines, and really seeking to minister to them at this time as well.
Well, yeah, that's quite a thing to hear. And your church in the midst of Yonkers, obviously a very populated community. But how is your church directly? Is it? Have you had more opportunity to reach out in the community? How are your people being affected? You know, you personally and your church.
Yeah. So, thankfully, by God's grace, we've only had a handful of cases in our church of people who contracted the COVID-19, and many of which are recovering and have recovered. Unfortunately, we did have one dear sister pass this past week who had some other underlying health issues as well. And as we know, this disease, this virus, really attacks aggressively those with underlying health issues. So our hearts break over that. I mean, listen, one life is too many lives to lose, right? You know, you know, we don't make light of this at all. But, you know, at the same time, we're so thankful to also hear of and see the people who have recovered and are recovering. And so, yeah, it's just it's really heartbreaking when it hits home and one of your own is taken from this virus. And we're just so thankful, once again, that she knew the Lord. We know she's with the Lord. But, you know, our hearts break for that temporary separation and for the family that's suffering during that time. And so our church has been it's amazing. Just this past week, my assistant pastor, Bobby Albee, the Lord has placed on his heart a ministry called Calvary Cares, and it's been birthed in this pandemic. And he just was seeking the Lord, and the Lord gave him a vision, and it's amazing how it all fell into place. You know, even by a way that one of his clients is one of the directors of St. John's Riverside Hospital there, one of our largest hospitals in Yonkers, and she was coordinating with him to get food now to all the staff members. And so just this past Wednesday, we launched a ministry, and we're working with a local deli, Dom's Deli and Grill House, too, there in Yonkers. And so they worked with us on the pricing for the catering, and they loved the cause, and they wanted to get behind it. And so now every Wednesday we'll be serving between 40 to 50 meals to our local hospitals in Yonkers, and then also to the fire departments and to the police departments in the name of Jesus. And so we're just going to, you know, bless them with a bunch of hot meals. And it's amazing, you know, how our thing in Calvary Chapel is where God guides, he provides. And it's just amazing. The first catering meal was totally provided for, and people just giving unto the Lord to cover the cost. And so we're just really excited about this ministry now, just that's going to make an impact for Christ in our community and let our caretakers know that we love them, we're praying for them, and to just show the love of Christ in a practical way by blessing them with some hot meals, you know. And so the respiratory department was served this week. Next week, I believe, it's going to be the laboratory and then the janitorial staff. So we're really trying to bless those with food who haven't really been getting too many meals during the day there. So It's a real blessing. We're really excited about it, and we just give the Lord all the glory. I mean, it's just amazing to see how, in the midst of this pandemic and in the midst of this crisis, how the Lord's light is shining, and that's what he does, right? You know, in the midst of the darkness, the light shines the brightest, and, you know, so we're just so grateful for that. And the people in our church has really been stepping up, just loving on each other, checking in on one another. As my wife and I, you know, reach out to people, it's just amazing to hear, oh, yeah, so-and-so called me, and this one called me, and this one came by and dropped off food, or, you know, and that's the church, right? I mean, that's, we're seeing now more than ever that the church is not about the building. We're the church, and it's just so awesome to see. And so that's really the most exciting thing that's been happening in the midst of this, just to be a blessing to our community, George, you know?
Well, that's really great to hear, and I'm just encouraged by it. I'm sure our listeners are too, Johnny, Pastor Johnny, just to hear the doors that have been opened and the faith and the vision to do something, see if an opportunity would open there for you. That's really wonderful. So feeding the people, that the staff of the hospitals and so forth, the fire department, the police department, in a time where they are obviously putting in so many hours and so strained, as I mentioned, your city is in the news with hospitals that are really like they were in La Rochelle, like you mentioned, where there's just a lot going on and really to the max. So that's really wonderful to hear that God has opened the door for you in that way and giving you the vision, but also the faith and then the grace to do it. So that's just beautiful. Praise the Lord.
We're very thankful. You know, it's just, I remember, you know, I was talking with my assistant pastor the other day, and he was just blown away, as we all are, about what God is doing with this. And it reminded me of a definition of ministry that Warren Wiersbe once said, and I love it. I committed it to memory. And he said, ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. Yeah. And, you know, that's exactly what he does. You know, there's a need. God wants to meet it. And when we want to bless his people and others in his name, I mean, he's going to provide the resources. And it's just awesome to see him work and just to be part of it, right? And just to be his hands and feet during this time.
Yeah, amen. Well, that's encouraging. And I guess since you mentioned that on the radio, is there a way the radio audience can assist you in that, or at least pray for you? But is there anything else our radio audience can do to help you with that outreach to your local hospital and so forth? Yep.
Sure. I mean, you know, as you guys, if you're listening out there and you pray and the Lord puts a burden on your heart to minister and partner with us in this ministry, you can go to our homepage at ccogt.org. And there's online giving there on our homepage, and that'll bring you to our giving module. And on the giving module, there's a drop-down. There's a few different ways you could give. There's the general fund. There's the radio ministry. But then underneath the radio ministry, you'll see Calvary Cares. And you could just click on that, and you can make a one-time donation, a reoccurring donation, however the Lord may lead you. Or if you guys have our church app, and you've downloaded our church app from Subsplash, you could also give via our church app as well. And so you can mail in a check to our church address, which you'll find on our website again. And, you know, most importantly, we ask for the prayers and that you just continue to pray for us. But if you feel so led to give, for sure, I mean, that would be a great blessing. And every single dime will go to the meals that will go out to all our caregivers in our city.
So it's,
thank you so much for that.
Yeah, so it's CCOGT, is that what it is, .org? CCOGT.
Yes.
Yep. So Calvary Chapel Grace and Truth, CCOGT.org. And you can go there, and as Pastor Johnny described to you, go to the giving section, and you're able to give to this ministry. We're there right there in the middle of a lot going on with COVID-19, and yet able to feed and just reach out and encourage the people that are working so hard at this time. Well, Well, praise the Lord. You know, I thought, Johnny, as we are connected here and able to just speak to our radio audience here in New England, it is interesting. Massachusetts is quite a ways behind you guys, but we are in one of these places that's being seen as a hotspot too. And I think our state is the third in the list as far as most cases. And it is quite it is quite growing. You know, we haven't reached the peak yet here in Massachusetts. So it's quite, you know, we're all starting to see more of this. And as I was sharing at the beginning, it's been 6 weeks since our state declared a state of emergency, 6 weeks. And the world, it's I wanted to talk with you about this because it's really been, it hit me in a greater way in the last week. And it really did with a man I was interviewing on the radio. He was a missionary in Africa, and he was on the phone from Western Africa. And we know him, we love him. And he was sharing about, you know, he's in the villages and how far, you know, COVID-19 has reached to his villages and changed their way of life and is affecting the poor. But what hit me is the way he stated it, because it does seem true. You know, if you went back to the Spanish flu pandemic, I would have to think, and I'm not a historian that way, but I'd have to think it took a while for that to get around the globe. But in such a short time, COVID-19 has gone around the globe because of the modern way travel and all that. But the whole world, in such a short time is on pause. It's just on pause. It's really amazing to me. The all the big sports in New England that, you know, we're so sports crazy here. They're all on pause. And, you know, you could go to, you know, South Africa, whatever. You could go to Asian countries and the soccer stadiums are quiet. You can go to, you know, the big cities in Europe and the plays, you know, the theaters are not moving or operating. The big festivals, even big pagan festivals that happen in countries where they have these big parades and pagan festivals, it's all on pause. It's really extraordinary that God has allowed this. He just stopped the planet. And it's such a great thing in the sense that it's such a massive thing that is happening right now. It's extraordinary. And it came so quietly and it just snuck up on, but here we are, we're all on pause. And I wanted to just discuss that with you. And as you're looking around and considering the world and the church and what God is doing, you know, the message to the church, we continue to talk about this at this radio hour. And a lot of the same things are said to the church, because it is, you know, God is, there's a similar word. But I wanted to give you more opportunity just to share your heart. And I guess I begin with that. There's just this extraordinary, the world is on pause. It's just like God's like, I'm stopping this world for a moment.
Yeah.
And everywhere, even in the villages of Africa, I'm on the phone, you know, with a pastor there, and it's just on pause. And he mentioned this. He said, in our villages, I can hear people crying out to God. They may not be crying out to, you know, Jesus. They don't know him. They've got some name for their pagan God or whatever. I can hear them because they're suffering. I can hear them crying out at night, and it's the whole world. So, I'm going to turn it over to you. And with that thought, you know, how would you continue to encourage the church?
Yeah, I mean, even as you're talking, Drew, I'm just thinking of that verse there in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God, you know? And he says, I will be exalted in the earth. And so, you know, it's amazing, like you use that phrase, he put the world on pause. It's exactly like what's happened. And, you know, to get our attention, I really do. We know that our God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And, you know, I'm thinking about just the messages I've been sharing back home here at our church and with our folks, especially on Sunday mornings, looking at letters of comfort from confinement. That's the series that God has put on my heart during this time, and just looking at different writings in the Bible from people who were, you know, like Paul in a prison cell, or like David running for his life and hiding out in caves, or we're going to be looking at this coming Sunday, Noah and his family, literally confined in an ark for 371 days,
right?
You know, when you do the whole math, and you know, just what God does in those times, you know. And I believe, you know, perhaps he's confined us to refine us, you know, and you know that he just wants to get at our hearts for the church. I believe it's that he wants to wake us up. And really, you know, we've been praying for revival. We've partnered with Pastor John Randall from Calvary Chapel San Juan Capistrano. Early on in the month, he reached out to me. He says, hey, you know, we're doing this 30-day prayer for revival. You know, I'd love for you to join us. And without hesitation, I was like, yeah, we're in. And, you know, so we're on the 24th day, and, you know, we've been praying for revival personally, for as a church collectively, and then nationally. And now, you know, just looking at God just wanting us to consider his attributes. That's what we've been praying through even today. And just considering the Lord. And, you know, I think about how the Bible tells us even there to consider our ways, you know, and, you know, that we would really allow the Lord to examine our hearts and to, you know, revive us, you know. Again, revival is bringing life to that which already has life but has kind of become unconscious. You know, it's like a person that's passed out. Technically, they're alive, but there's no action. There's no, you know, function. And so, you know, I believe God wants to really do a great work in our hearts. And I've been going before the Lord just asking God, you know, remove those things that are just hindering you in any way, and just anything that needs to be pruned, you know, just cut it out so that I could bear more fruit for your glory. And I think that if the church really seeks the Lord in that way, and we're really honest before God and say, God, try me, examine me, search my heart, and lead me in the way everlasting, and remove anything that's wicked, you know, I mean, he wants to do it. He wants to work in our lives more than we want him to at times. So I think if we just humble ourselves before the Lord during this time, he will be exalted. And, you know, I believe that's his heart. He wants to be exalted, and he's removed all the idols and, you know, distractions. And so really, I believe for a window of opportunity, you know, I'm looking at Noah, and I'm looking at the days in which Noah was living in, and the wickedness on the earth, and the intents and thoughts of man's heart was evil continually. And, you know, how God was grieved, it says there in Genesis 6. And, you know, he warned Noah. He says, listen, I'm going to destroy everything on the earth and everyone on it, and, you know, build this ark. And he gave him a word of warning. And for 120 years, Noah was preaching righteousness. He was a preacher of righteousness, Peter tells us. And no doubt he was preaching the gospel, and he was warning people of the judgment to come. And I believe God is giving us this window of opportunity as the church to continue to preach the gospel and to share the good news, and to also let people know that, yes, you know, things are bad now, but it's going to get a lot worse when Jesus comes for his church and removes us from the earth, and the tribulation period comes. It's going to be a lot worse. And so, you know, I think we have this wonderful opportunity to reach the lost and to continue to disciple the believers, and may we really go for it with all our hearts. I mean, I'll tell you, I mean, for me personally, that's what the Lord's been doing in my life, and for our ministry. I'm like, once we are able to get back together as a church in the building, I want us to be on fire. I want us to be making an impact like never before. We're not going to go back the same way. If we come out of this unchanged, then shame on us, you know? I mean, this is a great time to allow the Lord to do that work in our lives and in our hearts as his children, as the church. And I think for the unbelieving world, it's really a wake-up call and grabbing the attention of non-believers to know that, hey, you know, things are not right, you know? There's just something going on here. And perhaps that men would cry out to God. It's like we read there in the book of Acts even, you know, that God would cause people to cry out to him in repentance, and that they would realize that he's a loving God. He's a gracious and merciful, kind God, and yet he's a God of wrath. He's a God of justice and judgment, and, you know, so judgment is coming, and I think that we need to continue to just share the good news, and that Jesus would be exalted, and as he is, he'll draw all people to himself, and, you know, really, that's got to be our heart. And so, you know, I was reading through Lamentations today, and in the third chapter, and of course, that's written by Jeremiah after he witnessed the devastation of the southern tribe of Judah being just ransacked by Babylon, having been taken captive, and just really having gone through an extremely difficult time of judgment that God allowed for their disobedience and their idolatry. And, you know, he's lamenting in that book, but yet he says he had hope in the Lord. He had hope in the Lord because God is faithful, you know, and he said, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Mm-hmm. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. And so in the midst of that, Jeremiah had hope. And I think even again, right now, in the midst of all this, there's hope. And we know that that hope is only found in Jesus Christ. And we have the answers that a lost and dying world are searching for. And they look for in everything and anything else except Christ, and always come up empty. And we have the answer, and may we be loving on them. May we be Christ to them. And now is the time to be the church, because we can't go to church. You know? And so that we would be the church. And that's really what's been burning in my heart, George, you know?
Yeah. No, thank you. My heart bears witness with all that you've shared, Pastor Johnny. I just right there with you agree, and I've thought many of the same things. I totally agree. When you mention Jeremiah and Lamentations and that chapter, and it is really striking at a time like that, what he describes in those chapters of what he witnessed and saw in his world, right? All that God allowed, the suffering, the needle was pegged as far as suffering. It is what he witnessed was so great. And it is after that, isn't it? Just the destruction of his city, of his nation, and people taken off, taken away captive, and all that happened under the Babylonians. But then he says, it is true, as you noted, after all of that, he says, we still have hope. You know, your compassions fail not. And if he can say that then, no doubt any of God's people now. And we've mentioned a couple times, it's come up, and it's a passage that, you know, it's been around me since I've been in New England 25 years, and even coming out here, it was followed me around. And I never really liked it because I didn't like the image. But I like the point, but I don't really want the beginning. You know, I don't, the part A I don't like. I like the part B, but I would like to skip the part A. But it's, but I appreciate it now in a new light, in a beautiful way. But the end of Habakkuk, you know, where Habakkuk says, you know, though there's no fruit, you know, on the vine, though there's no sheep in the field, you know, that I don't like that part. You know, I'm like, I hope that's not a word for me, Lord. You know what I mean? It's just, but he's just talking about, but it is true. He is seeing the what God is going to do through the Babylonians, and hard to even, you know, put that all in your head and your heart. But then he's able to say, you know, God, you're so far above it, and what you do, I'm going to worship you and trust you with all my life. And same sort of thing. So I hear you, and I certainly bear witness to what you're saying.
Amen. It's crazy because I'm looking here right now at Lamentations, and right there in chapter 3, verse 40, he says, let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled. You have not pardoned, and you have covered yourself with anger and pursued us. You have slain and not pitied. You know, and he goes on there and he says how his eyes were overflowing with tears for his people and the suffering. But yet, you know, again, he's saying, cry out to God, call upon him. You know, he will have mercy. He is faithful. And so just what a great word for us that even during this time to know that he's not doing this to hurt us or to harm us, but to really, you know, get to our hearts and to transform us. He's conforming us into the image and likeness of his son, Jesus Christ. And more importantly, he wants to get to the people who don't know him yet, because he's coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. We know we don't know the day or the hour, but boy, you know, those of you who are into Bible prophecy and you see current events and you line it up with what the Word of God has already told us is going to take place, God is just being abundantly gracious and merciful. There's nothing left to be fulfilled.
Yeah, it's so striking. We have a break here in 30 seconds. I'd like to continue with you, Pastor Johnny, if you're able to hang with us a little bit longer. But, yeah, I shared recently at our church Psalm 85. And Psalm 85 is a psalm written after the Jews come back into the land. And yet they're still looking around, you know, at the devastation and rebuilding. But the prayer is, restore us, God, and revive us. But then the prayer is, then the word is, but let us not return to our folly. And I've been thinking about that, not returning to our folly. And I told our church, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that right after the break. We've got just a few seconds here and the break, so we'll be right back. Well, welcome back to this second half hour on Renew FM. Glad you're tuned in. I have with me here on the phone, Pastor Johnny Zacchio from Yonkers, New York, Calvary Chapel, Grace and Truth. And we were in a good discussion about this hour that we're in, and also the church and the message to the church, and, you know, what is in our hearts as pastors to encourage the church. But we had to go to break, so we've come back. And I want to just continue the discussion with you, Pastor Johnny, as we were, just discussing. You had mentioned how when this is over, you want your church, your hope is that the church will be on fire. You're part of, even with other pastors, a daily prayer for revival, and so many praying for revival. But you don't want your church to miss the moment. You don't want it to come and go and the church to go back to its old ways, same old, same old. And I was going to pick up with you the second half hour. What do we do? What do we do to ensure that that doesn't happen? What are your thoughts related to that?
Yeah, again, I think, you know, one of the things I've been mentioning and even kind of like sprinkling through my messages lately is we don't want to waste this trial. We don't want to waste this time. And I believe it's also a time of testing, you know, and we want to pass the test. And whenever the Lord allows us to be tested, it's not so that we would be torn down. It's to rather build us up. It's so that we can pass the test. I always think about one of my favorite Bible teachers, Pastor John Fortson, would always say, it's an open book test. You know, we have the answers right here in the Bible. So, you know, but God, he loves us, and he wants us to grow and mature. And so I think in order for us to, you know, not go back to the same way is to really allow the Lord to do the work that he wants to do in our hearts. And we know that his Holy Spirit, he convicts us. And, you know, if we're tuned to him and we're spending time in prayer, we're opening up our Bibles and we're reading the word and listening for his voice, he's certain to point out those areas where he wants repentance. And, you know, I think that's the key, is repentance. You know, we see all throughout the scriptures, from the Old to the New Testament, it is repent. You know, turn to the Lord, you know, and he wants to do that work. And it's such a blessing, you know. I think in some regards, the word repentance almost became a dirty word in the church. You know, pastors are afraid to say it or, you know, share it. And, you know, almost like for, you know, the feeling of that you might be looked at as judgmental or legalistic. But it's a beautiful word, you know. It's like a U-turn. It's a reset button, you know. It's like we respond to the Holy Spirit's conviction, and he grants us that ability to repent, to have that change of mind, you know, and that'll bring about a change of heart, a change of direction and action in our lives. And it's going to bear forth fruits that are worthy of repentance. And so, you know, just I think about, you know, I think in every church, you know, we love our people. We love the church, and we're so grateful for what God is doing. But, you know, in every church, you know, there's always those who, you know, they just, for whatever reason, they might even be with you for years, but they never get involved, they never serve, they never use their gifts for the glory of God. They don't really, you know, stick around. They come in at the last worship song, and they leave right after the message is done. You know, they don't want to become part of the body for whatever reason. And, you know, I really just pray that, especially in that regard, that people say, wow, what a blessing to be able to pull up to the church and enter the prayer meeting and not have to try to get on Zoom and turn on my microphone and, you know, what's that background noise? But, you know, boy, I mean, what a blessing to be able to just now go to a prayer meeting when we get back, you know, to come to the midweek service and not sit at home and watch it on your couch, you know, and, you know, just to be amongst the body and not only just to be in the church building, but again, to be the church and say, hey, God, what part am I in the body? What gifts have you given to me? And how can I use them for your glory? And, you know, so I think that if we go back, And for those, perhaps especially, who have just kind of been, you know, yeah, you're saved, but, you know, you're just kind of like carnal, you know? I mean, just, you know, again, God wants us to be walking in the Spirit, and that's the fruitful, abundant life of the believer. You know, we're in the book of Deuteronomy on Wednesday nights in our midweek service, and, you know, the nation of Israel, the second generation now, getting ready to cross over into the Promised Land. And, you know, I've been saying, you know, to the folks, hey, listen, again, in the New Testament, that speaks to us of our walking in the Spirit, that fruitful walk in the Spirit, the abundant life that Jesus has promised us as believers, and that's just walking in obedience to the Lord, to his word. None of us are perfect, but it's that heart attitude, it's the desire. Lord, I want to be pleasing to you. I want to live my life for your glory and no longer live it for the flesh, no longer consumed with the things of the world. And as you said, George, you know, everything's been put on pause so that we could reflect what things perhaps have been taken priority in our lives above and beyond the Lord. And again, we know the Bible describes that as idolatry. I mean, it's not a popular message, but, you know, Jeremiah wasn't popular when he was sharing with the southern tribe of Judah, with God's people. He's saying, hey, guys, you've turned away from the Lord, you know, come back to him. And I think, you know, especially the backsliders, you know, I've really been praying a lot for the backsliders, for the prodigals. Lord, bring them home, you know, draw them back to you, and may they come to their senses, like we read about there, of the prodigal son. And again, I think if there's a real moving of the Spirit of God in the hearts of his people, we're going to see revival. And someone asked me, Calvary Chapel Magazine had interviewed me a couple weeks ago, and they were asking me, do you think that we're going to see revival from this situation? And I says, you know what, I'll be honest with you, I think only time will tell. I think only time will tell. You and I both lived through the 9/11 season when the churches were packed after 9/11 struck in New York City, and that terrible day. And, you know, for several months, maybe 8 or 9 months, the churches were packed, you know, but once things started to settle and the dust started to settle and things went back to quote unquote normal, you know, and I'm hearing a lot of that. I can't wait for things to get back to normal. And I'm like, I get what you're saying, but I'm praying in a spiritual sense we don't go back to normal. I pray that we're changed. Right. And so I think time will tell to see if there's really a work of revival taking place in the body of Christ, and we'll see fruit of that. You know, I think of what Jesus said in John 15, fruit that remains, fruit that glorifies him. And, you know, so emotionalism and you know, people crying out of fear, and I've even said this from the pulpit, you don't come to Jesus because you're afraid of the coronavirus. You know, come to Jesus because you're convinced that you've sinned against him and he loves you. And he paid for your sins. And again, I just go through and share the gospel, and that's what saves. I mean, because once you're not scared anymore, okay, you go back to what you're doing. You know, okay, thanks, Jesus. Thanks for rescuing me out of that. I'll take it from here, you know. And we saw that with the nation of Israel. You know, we see that pattern, you know. They walk with the Lord a little bit, then they fall into idolatry, and then they cry out to God. He'd rescue them, send a deliverer. And that pattern, it's like, man, you know, why go in circles like that? You know, the nation of Israel should have went into the promised land in 11 days, and it took them nearly 40 years because of unbelief and disobedience and, you know, just not taking God at his word. And that's really what he wants for us, right? Just, hey, believe me. You know, walk with me by faith and just trust me. Obey me. I got the best in store for you. And, you know, we're so silly sometimes. We just want to do our own thing, and we pay the price.
Yeah. Well, I hope as you've been listening to Pastor Johnny Zacchio of Yonkers, New York, you've been encouraged. He is sharing truths that I totally bear witness with, and I think a lot of us do that are listening. I know they've been things that have been shared in different forms and different ways, too, over the last few weeks at this radio hour. These are things that, you know, is also my prayer. I totally right there with you, Pastor, that I pray that our church comes back. I pray our church comes back and we're different. I pray we're different. I pray we do not return to our folly. I pray we've thought through this. And, you know, as Jesus exhorted, you know, the nation of Israel, when you get there, remember, you know, don't forget.
Yes.
That the real problem is we're so forgetful. It's this part of our human nature. We're so forgetful. It would be insane to go through this. And, yeah, they're saying maybe by the end of May, maybe June, we're going to really see, you know, a lot of our life returning to us and this passing behind us. And maybe it'll pass and it'll stay away and, it'll you know, we'll go back to life in many ways. But to forget next year, forget, I pray we never forget. I pray this generation, I've got a young adult in my house that had to come home from university. But big interruption, you know, I think of the high schoolers right now that would be having their graduation or their proms. And, you know, it's a big deal at that point in your life. And, if you're listening right now and that's you, I empathize. My heart goes out to you. I have a young adult who's a freshman in college and had big aspirations and big desires and is wondering, what is America going to be like when this is over? What is my life going to be like? What where are we going? Why would this happen now? You know, and, you know, it's a big deal. Yet at the same time, I've encouraged my child who loves the Lord that you might just get the privilege of seeing a revival, a real true revival, and living in the middle of it. So, yeah, this is hard, but you might go back to your college. She goes to a Christian college. You may return there and be part of a revival. So, different world, but a revival. But we don't want to forget. And, you know, I'd like to go a little further with you then with this thought. And I've been thinking about this, you know, how God put the world on pause and how God, all the things that you're saying to the church, my heart just is right there with you. You know, wake up, church, you know, we could read the scriptures in Romans and Hebrews, you know, just, you know, it's the hour. It's time now to live for the Lord. We have no excuse. But then I was thinking about this because so many examples in the last year, and I know you can affirm this, but I've just real wickedness going on, you know, in our nation and some things we're fighting in our own local community and library and our school system and just crazy to have young adults in my house and what they have to deal with today. It's just crazy how far just the world has gotten really weird at the same time and morality is just fallen. And, you know, I was thinking, because we go on a prayer walk in our city on Thursdays and we started it up again with our mask on and, you know, just walking through the city. It is quite a thing for me to walk around the streets and be with people and just praying but and seeing the things. But I was thinking, I remember Billy Graham talking about how there's like, it's like the tide, you know, the darkness, it seems historically, will get to a certain point, and then God says, well, this is as far as I'm going to let it go at this point. And then something happens, and it starts to, you know, the tide starts to come in again. And what happens is a change for a while, and sometimes revival will bring the tide way in, you know, it'll be such a different world. And then it'll start going out again, and then it'll go out even further. I remember Billy Graham saying that next time it'll probably get more dark. But then God will say, you know, if it is his will, you know, this is as far as it's going this time. I feel that way right now, is as if, as God is saying right in his mercy, wow, it was getting really crazy. And he just intervened. Okay, that for right this moment, this is as far as it's going. And maybe it'll reverse for a while. And I do expect the coming of Christ very soon, but maybe before then.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be today, but maybe before then, God wanted a little bit more time, and had to put a stop to just the escalation of darkness. What's your thoughts with that? I just share that with you.
Yeah. Again, it's like you said, I'm just, you know, preparing for Sunday and going through Genesis chapter 6 and 7, and that's exactly what was going on in Noah's day. And Jesus said, I'll be coming back, like in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. And when we look at the days of Noah and Lot, and there in the book of Genesis, it's basically almost a mirror image of our days. And so that's just pretty amazing when you see, like you said, the immorality and the depravity and the wickedness and, you know, the violence and all these things that were filling the earth back then and have filled the earth again right now. And, you know, yes, I totally agree, George. I think that God is he's saying, hey, look up, wake up. You know, this is a moment. It's a window of opportunity in so many different regards that I believe he's given us a respite right now in the church and even as a nation, as the United States of America, to perhaps just, you know, cause people to repent and cause him to relent of you know, impending judgment, because we know it's going to come. And, you know, again, if you're listening to this out there, I don't want you to think, oh, boy, man, he's got this doom and gloom fire and brimstone guy on. But, you know, the reality is the scriptures, you know, God warns us because he loves us. If I could share something real quick, George.
Yeah, please.
Deuteronomy chapter 8. I was teaching on this on Wednesday night. This is where we are in our midweek service. And he says here, as the nation of Israel, the second generation, are getting ready to cross over to Jordan into the land of Canaan, they're parents have all died out from 20 years of age and older because they disobeyed the Lord. But he's saying to them, as they're getting ready to go in, he says, listen, you know, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. Verse 2 of chapter 8, he says, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And so he humbled you, he allowed you to hunger, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. And you should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. And, you know, I see there just this beautiful, you know, words of the Lord to his people saying, you know what? God allowed those 40 years in the wilderness, a trip that should have taken them 11 days, by the way, but he allowed it to have them wander for 40 years to humble them and to test them. And again, you know, if we're not willing to humble ourselves before the Lord, that he may be exalted, he's got very interesting ways in humbling us. And I found it's better when I humble myself before the Lord than for him to have to humble me. And, you know, we go through those times, and even when he tests us, again, it's to build us up, it's to grow us, because he loves us. And he shared there with them that, you know, the Lord, he chastens us because he loves us. And I believe that, you know, in many ways, this is a time of chastening, you know, and really to get us in the place where, just like a loving parent disciplines their children. This isn't a picture of a guy going, flipping off the handle and screaming and yelling and swinging a belt around. No, that's abuse. That's not discipline. You know, our loving Father in heaven disciplines us. He chastens us because he loves us. He wants us to grow and to mature and to walk with him, to fear him. And, you know, there's a real lack of the fear of the Lord, not only in the unbelieving world, but even in the church, I believe, George. You know, I think, you know, just we've lost this sense of a healthy fear of the Lord, this reverence, this awe, this loving awe of our God, and just how awesome and mighty he is, and just to think that, hey, wow, Lord, I want to please you. And yes, Lord, you keep my heart beating. You keep the breath in my lungs. I mean, it's a pretty awesome thing when we think about it. And so he says he wants you to be blessed. He wanted them to be blessed when they went into the land. But he did say there, like you said, he said, when you get in there and I bless your socks off, don't forget me. And I'm thinking when we go back to normal, hey, let's not forget this. Let's not forget the Lord. You know, let's allow this to change us from the inside out.
Yeah. Amen. Let's not forget. Let's not go back to our old way. Let's seek the Lord and live for the Lord. Mm. Yeah, a time of discipline, a time, you know, we've had people share on this too. You know, people call in, and I've run into people that, you know, God didn't do this, you know, God wouldn't do this sort of thing. And you hear that in the church, that in some parts of the church, God didn't create this virus, he didn't do that. And obviously God doesn't do evil, and he's not that right. way, but somehow in the sovereignty of God, the God who's sat above, you know, the flood, you know, and on his throne when all that was happening. The same God is governs in the affairs of all. He's a sovereign over all things. And no doubt this is something he has allowed and he's using and it's serving his purposes. And I do fully agree. And we need to see it that way and not to see a God that is, you know, does evil or anything like that. No, he's a God that loves, and he can use even, he can shake this world to awaken this world. And I do believe in the great tribulation that is coming in this world not long from now. He's going to even awaken the nation of Israel to their Messiah when he really shakes his place. And that's what he does.
Right.
So I fully agree with you. I was speaking recently to one of my children, and you know this, this sort of thing, but we were really slow with giving our kids cell phones and really slow in giving them access to the internet. And I tried to drag that out as long as I could. You know, I just didn't want, I really did. And it was always a battle, you know, my kids, because so many around them and they were, you know, they felt a little singled out. And yet I told them, we're not a little house on the prairie, but I just want to look out for you to a certain point. And anyhow, it was interesting because it was such a battle, such an ongoing conversation, even though, you know, they were great kids at the same time. But this kid was telling me, one of my children, how, if they were to have children, man, they would be so cautious with giving their children a cell phone or the internet. And it was interesting to hear that from my own child. I was like, you know what? You know, you remember how we used to battle over this? And, but but just doing a work of that at the time they saw was hindering or they thought was holding things back for them. Now they look back and go, I'm glad you did that, and I'm going to do the same with my child. There's a lot of destruction out there I want to keep for my child when they, So I just share that with you. You make me think of that as you're talking about some of these things and that chastising or the protection of God or even the way God uses suffering to keep us away from or wake us up or just purify us or whatever it might be.
Yeah, and it's like exactly what he says there in Hebrews. He says that those who are trained by God's discipline, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And that's exactly like what you kind of were explaining with your child that was saying, hey, Dad, you know what? You know, basically he's thanking you. He's saying, thanks for chastening me and disciplining me. Because now you're seeing that peaceable fruit of righteousness being yielded from that. And that's awesome.
Yeah, well, you know, I'd like to give you an opportunity to pray for our audience, Pastor Johnny. And as I was listening to you, so many thoughts came into my mind, and I didn't know what to... I had different thoughts I wanted to run with you because you've made some great points, but we are out of, you know, coming near the end of our time here. So I do appreciate your time again and just sharing your heart with our, you know, the radio audience here in New England, in Boston and so forth. But I'd like to give you an opportunity to pray for the radio audience here too and just pray for them as God would lead you.
Sure.
And if there's any final thing you want to say, you know, I'll give you an opportunity. We got about 3.5 minutes, but
sure. I'd love to. Yeah, again, just thank you so much again, George, for this opportunity. Thank you so much to all of you listening out there. And just want you to know this, that God loves you. He sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins. And that's how much he loves you. And not while you try to get your act together or become a better person or go to church. He loves you just the way you are, but he wants to continue to change your life. He doesn't want to leave you the way you are. So I would encourage you, if you were listening to this and you were convicted, maybe something you heard made you feel guilty. Well, that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit drawing you to Jesus because he loves you. He wants you to be saved. And you could just, you can turn from your sin and receive Christ as your Savior and your Lord. You could just confess it to him, repent in your heart, and you know, so I want to encourage you in that. If you know the Lord and you are listening, just again, know that the Lord is with you. He's for you. May your heart be filled with faith right now and not fear and with his peace and not panic. We're going to get through this. The Lord is sovereign, and he's going to continue to just be exalted, and he just wants us to be still right now and know that he is God. And so I pray you are encouraged, and I'm going to close in a word of prayer. And so, Father, we just thank you so much, Lord. We thank you for George and the staff at Renew FM. We thank you for all the listeners, Lord. We pray that you be with them, bless them, Lord. Pray, God, that you protect them, watch over them, Lord. We pray for the area of Massachusetts and Boston. God, we just ask that you protect them from this COVID-19. And, Father, for those who are sick, that you heal them. For those who are not, that you protect them, Lord. And for all our workers on the front lines, the hospital staff, doctors, nurses, the police officers, firemen. God, we pray for our president and all our leaders of our nation, God. Just give them wisdom from on high and protection, God. And just we ask, Lord, that you would continue to be exalted and glorified during this time. And, Lord, that we would come out of this change, transformed, conformed into the image and likeness of your son. And, God, that he would be exalted in this time and that many would be drawn to him for salvation. And for those who are saved, that we would just continue to grow and bring glory to you. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to say a quick prayer for you, Pastor Johnny, and our audience.
Thank you.
I'm going to invite our audience to pray with me in heart for you. Lord, I want to thank you for Pastor Johnny and all you've done already through his life and ministry. And, of course, even the way you're ministering through him on Renew FM to the Boston, New England area. I thank you, Lord. And I pray you continue to bless his ministry and his the church there in Yonkers, and continue to give them strength. I do pray, Lord, those that have been afflicted with COVID-19 for your healing, and that you'd have mercy, Lord, upon the whole body and keep the virus away. And I pray for this outreach on Wednesdays, that they are able to just bring the food and encourage the emergency responders and the hospital workers. I pray you'd bless it, Lord, as they come and give the cup of cold water and stand there in the love of Christ. That you'd give them much mercy, much grace, and much opportunity even to point people to the Lord through it. So, Lord, bless and his family. Thank you for all that you're doing, Lord. We do pray, as Johnny has reminded us, that we look up, Lord. We look for your return. Give us good memories, Lord, that we don't forget these days that we're in. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, amen.
Real privilege to have you with us again. And I pray the Lord blesses your weekend.
Likewise.
Okay.
Thank you so much, George. Likewise. God bless you guys.
God bless you, too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, we'll be back next week on Monday, so tune us in. This is Renew FM. God bless you.
You've been listening to Renew FM, and we're so blessed you could join us tonight for our live broadcast here with Pastor George Small. We pray this time encouraged you and helped lift your eyes off the chaos of the COVID-19 crisis and unto Jesus, who remains on his throne and who also is with you right now in this very moment. Join us Monday through Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. You can also call Renew FM at 888-310-PRAY. But most importantly, we want to remind you that you can call on the Lord and receive the encouragement you need from his word at any time. We invite you to join us next time on our live broadcast. And until then, good night and God bless you.